first year, we'll put everything together, we'll put all the pushing. When Rodney was putting his budget together, he didn't have, he didn't know exactly which piece of equipment he was doing. He thought he was spending about $230,000 a year, so that's what we budgeted, that's what he had on his deal, that's what I would put. That's unusual, usually, like this year, he told us specifically. So that's why we had the money in there. I could have just left the contingency inside his department, that's how it was, so that, in this instance, I'm probably not moving the money around. So, but you can't do it now. Well, I guess you can.
11:18, 11:17, and we're gonna be back from recess. And we've completed our entire agenda with the exception of a budget workshop, and we've got several subjects to discuss. And a couple of these subjects that we'll deal with first, I would like you to hear from John Mark Coburn and from Joan Newman about some additional labor needs that they feel like they want you to now consider when we're determining this budget. Chris is trying desperately to get this put together this week, so we need some guidance for her today. So I don't know, normally I say ladies first, but I think I'm gonna start with John Mark in this case.
Well, thank you.
Will you pull that mic over there, please? We can all hear you, but we're all recording.
Okay.
Make sure we get that off recording.
Well, I was just going to get an opportunity to talk to y'all for a minute about the part-time person. I was on vacation when the budget workshop, and I didn't really have an opportunity to talk to you about it. And I'm glad I didn't, because it also gave me a chance to sit down and talk with Joan and put our heads together. Basically, what we had talked about and what we think would be real beneficial is to share that part-time position, like I've done in the past. If y'all, some of you weren't commissioners at the time, but I used to share a part-time position with the auditor's office. And that worked out real well, sharing the position with the auditor's office. She ended up becoming a full-time employee of the auditor's office, actually, in the end result. And I just didn't, Morgan's, who was my legal assistant's daughter, when Morgan went full-time with the auditor's office, I just never filled the position. I didn't think I needed a part-time position at that time, but I reserved the right to ask for it again. You know, I said I may need it in the future. So this past year, I had a little extra money. Carl had a little extra money that I could use to test to see if I could keep that person busy. So I had Esther's daughter, who is now starting school, so she can't do it, but just to see how things worked, having an extra person in the office and how busy I could keep that person. So I kept her very busy. There's no question about that. And so the position's vacant, and I appreciate you funding it for 6 months. The issue is, I would like to go ahead and ask that we either come out of my budget or Jones or however y'all want to do it, so we can fund the position for the full year. What I would like to do is have that person that we hire spend a lot of time helping Geraldine, which is the person that puts our docket together. She is under a lot of pressure to get those notices out twice a month at a minimum. That's just the arraignment docket. That's where the bulk of the notices, because I've recently upped that up to about 80 cases in the morning, 80 cases in the afternoon, and that's a lot of notices. In addition to that, we're now, the legislature now is requiring us to not issue a CAPIS for someone's arrest if they don't pay a fine in a timely manner. We have to bring them back to court. So after a case is completed, that would usually be the end of it. If they didn't pay the fine, then there would be a warrant, and they would either pay it to get out of jail or set that time out. Well, we can't really do that anymore, so that's forcing Joan to have to touch these files 2 and 3 more times sometimes after it's already completed, which is putting even more strain on Jerry. So I think Jerry could really use some help, get helping with those notices. And that's just the two times a month. That's not including the NYSI hearings that we're now having at least quarterly. We also have our bench trial docket, and we also have jury trial dockets, and the Class C appeals, we're having to deal with all those. So you know, we have a lot of bottleneck right there, in my opinion, and I think Jerry could really use the help. So that's going to be when I hire this person, even if it's just for 6 months, if y'all didn't approve it, I'm going to send that person upstairs to be helping Jerry at first. Now, once that person is comfortable and kind of has a routine with Jerry, I really, Esther had mentioned the scanning thing to you guys, and I would like to continue to be able to do that as well. If you recall, y'all allowed me to purchase that NetData software that was very expensive that I put off for years. You did that two or three years ago, and that was a big expense up front, and there's a big expense each year, but that allows my office and the sheriff's office and the clerk's office to all be able to communicate. One of the things that software allows us to do is get discovery to the defense attorneys electronically, but it has to be scanned in, so that's even more scanning that we're having to do. So I think that the prior scanning, I know y'all complained about all my files scattered all over the courthouse that y'all want me to get rid of, and I'm trying to do that, but well, I've got some. I get called regularly. What are we going to do about these files? But I would like to start trying to get rid of some of those older files, but I would like to try to scan those in, and we'll work on that. So between the scanning and just assisting with our docket and helping Jerry with the docket, I think it justifies an extra 6 months. We can always look at it every year like I've always done. I got rid of the position before when I felt like I didn't need it, and I'll do that again if I feel like I don't need it. But I do feel like I can keep that part-time person between the two of us very busy for 20 to 20-something hours a week for 12 months.
And the max is 29 hours a week.
And I'm not sure we would need 29 hours. So
that's not part-time the way we do it. Have that 29 hours every week. That's not part-time. That's just keeping somebody busy. That's the difference between government, I found out, and private sector. Mm-hmm. Part-time person, you're working 5 hours or 6 hours, you're trying to go home. And then you don't need them for 20 hours a week or 10 hours a week. Because the situation changes. But here, 29 hours. So we find something to do. That's the difference between private practice and government work.
I have to say 29 hours because if it goes to that, then we have a lot of different, we have to provide them with insurance benefits and everything so they can work them whatever, but the 29 hours, I have to give that to y'all because things change.
Yeah, she's just letting y'all know that can I work more than that.
Why should it be 29?
Well, you're
giving
20. Well,
that's true, but I didn't get the max.
They just can't work more than 29.
But I'm telling you, you watch it, it'll be 29 hours
every
week.
I'm fine with 20.
I'm just trying to explain.
Well, my vision is it to be a part-time position, not a full-time position. The kind of work that I think we're talking about doing here does not require a lot of time as far as getting the day started. You know, they could hit the ground running as far as Jerry could have the work lined up. This is what I need you to do. Or Esther could do the same thing. This is what I need you to do. And they're not a whole, you know, so it doesn't have to be 29. I don't think. And we could always look at it later. But and we can get Joan's opinion. I mean, she could speak better for what Jerry needs as far as that goes.
And it,
20 hours?
20 hours. Any hours would be appreciated. And we've always worked with John Mark's office, so that's not ever, I don't see that as being a problem. She needs help with all of the new unfunded mandates that the legislature gives us, so 20 hours would be great.
And I still hate to harp on this stuff, but we have to because our office is required to. Regardless if it's 20 hours a week or 5 hours a week, if it's permanent part-time, we have to take retirement out of that. If it was a temporary, because y'all are wanting this to happen, it's not just a special project like John Mark and I talked about, just a scanning a little bit and that project goes away. If you're going to use them the whole time, continuously, we have to take retirement out. And that's just me telling you what we have to do on our end. It has nothing to do just with what they're trying to do. Mr. Ritter.
This from what they're explaining here, this would be considered permanent.
And we would be taking retirement out of this.
You're
we are required to.
And permanent from the standpoint of one budget year. because it could be evaluated.
That's right. But if it was just, hey, we got a little spend to do, as soon as it's through, then this job's going away, that's different. What you're asking them to do, there's not necessarily the work's going away. You might react when you classify the work, but the work's not going away.
The dockets are getting, part of the problem that Jerry has is when, just a year ago, I was probably doing 40 cases in the morning and 40 cases in the afternoon. I mean, I bumped that up to 80 in the morning, 80 in the afternoon, partially because we're just not getting the fence up here. They're not showing up. And so if they don't show up, I can't do anything. So I just added more and more cases so I can get enough that I can get the right number that I'm satisfied with to keep things moving, going. Well, that's just putting more and more pressure on Jerry. And so, and I would keep it, I'd like to keep it about 80 in the morning, 80 in the afternoon.
How many cases have you done this year?
I couldn't say that this year, at least 700 this year. And that's just A&B misdemeanor.
Last month, I was kind of checked on it, and it was over 700 cases since you've already done. That's not counting what you're doing there.
Yeah, and again, that's just A&B misdemeanors. That's not the Class C appeals. That's not all the work over at the Justice Center with the JPs. That's not CPS. That's just, it takes a lot to keep all these A&B misdemeanors going because it's just so many of them.
And one of the reasons that the A&B misdemeanors need to be disposed of and gotten into court and having the docket built up as much is so that we can keep our, I guess, our disposition rate at 90% for the county. That's very important for our law enforcement grants.
That's a whole other issue. And the minute the reporting on that is taking more and more time. And I get calls, people get real sensitive about that. I mean, we've never come close to not matching the 90%, but I'll get calls, I've had calls from the police chief about that, concerned about, you know, if that reporting drops below 90%, countywide grants cease, is my understanding of how that works. And that's a serious matter. So it's critical that that stuff gets reported correctly, and it's only getting more and more burdensome more and more cases we file. And even if we don't file them, we still have to report it properly. And there's issues, there's a disconnect sometimes between the different offices and they don't get reported correctly and then have to be corrected. It's much more time consuming than what people realize. Or for example, the jail will report something and it's actually not even a Titus County case and it takes some time. That just doesn't get to us just overnight. Sometimes it takes a while for us to figure out, do some research on the case, in other words, to figure out, oh, wait a second, this is not even something that affects us, it affects somebody else, and we got to go back and request a change. And it's just, that's a very time-consuming and always has been project. So I'm glad you brought that up.
I think that's very important, is keeping our disposition rate up every year in the spring. I mean, August 1st is the cutoff date for those numbers to be where they need to be. Ours are at 91%, I believe, now for the previous year. And but every spring, I always do an audit of everything to try to look at where we're not meeting this 90%. It's just something I do just to look at. And so we start trying to let the other people know, let the jail know, or whatever, whenever we've got a little snag there.
Yeah. Well, when you don't reach 90%, it's going to cost us thousands of dollars.
That's right. And keeping that all done, I do as much as I can do. Jerry's doing all she can do. We really need this person that would provide us like with 20 hours.
And I know Jerry's working. I mean, you walk by there, you can see her in there. She's not reading the newspaper. I mean, she's busy. And she could definitely use some help. And that's why I'm saying, I'm going to, regardless of what y'all do today, if it's just for 6 months, I'm sending that person up to Jerry. That's what I think is a critical need as far as what I can see in the different offices and to keep things going. And that's what I intend to do because she does need the help. And I need the help too, but that's where the critical need is.
Not long after I came into office, DPS contacted me about this percentage rate we keep referring to this 90%, to explain to you what that is. Back in 2011, 2012, we were at about 60%, meaning we had that many outstanding cases that had not been finally adjudicated. We had five-year-old cases, four-year-old cases. We had a very old docket with a lot of cases on there. And with the help of the clerk's office and the help of John Mark's office, over the next 3 years or so, we got that whittled down. I'm looking here at the docket for tomorrow. I have a morning docket and an afternoon docket. Here's the morning docket with 80 cases on it. If you look through here, these are not old cases. Here's March of 2018. Here is, you know, the majority of these are either mid, early 2018 cases, or they may be some 2017 cases if they have been continued. And most of the time when they're continued, there is a legitimate reason for them having been continued. The point being, the docket is current, and we're not having to ask for more people because we're inefficient, we're not doing our job, and we've got a bunch of old cases. We've now achieved that 90%. We're maintaining at least that 90%. But the fact, simple fact is, the volume of cases is up significantly. And I don't know if you want to compare that to a year ago, 4 years ago, or 8 years ago, but we've never had 80 people on dockets for the morning and for the afternoon until here of late. But it's taking that in order just to keep up with the number of cases that are filed. I don't know how you explain that. I don't think the, you know, it's not a decision that law enforcement has made to arrest more people. You know, there's no benefit of that. But in order for us to adequately deal with crimes that are committed in this county, this is the result. And you know, the police department, or the sheriff's office, or DPS, whoever it is, makes these arrests, we have to deal with those, and we have to deal with them in a timely fashion. And preparing an 80-person morning and afternoon docket isn't something that's thrown together the day before. Work on this docket began, what, 30 days ago, Joan? I mean, this is something we're always looking 30 days ahead, 3 weeks at least ahead. And in the preparation of this kind of volume, with the level of detail that's needed on each one of these cases, both in the county attorney's office and in the county clerk's office, you wouldn't believe how much detail is involved there. And we are having these bail bond show cause hearings to force the bail bondsmen to do an ever-improving job of getting their customers to come to court so that we don't have a 70% show rate when we call that docket. We want to have a 90%, 95%, so that we can take care of these cases quickly and efficiently and not keep having to have the same person on the docket month after month after month. We are achieving that. We're doing a better job of it. We just have a higher load of cases. And so I think that they're making a very reasonable concession here. They're asking for a part-time person to be shared within these two offices. Individually, they both could justify having an extra part-time person, and so I think it's a great idea you come up with to share that person. I hope it will accomplish the objective, but if it doesn't, they'll be back here for more. Now, whether that's 29 hours or 20 hours, I don't know what it's going to take to get this done, but you need to get the manpower, whatever that is, to keep this docket current. I depend on you to do that, and we all depend on one another, the three of our departments, in order to get this job done. And so if you want to whittle it back to 20, that's fine. You do whatever you think is best, but don't shortchange yourself, and don't shortchange this job so we can't keep up with this docket.
I would look at it from the standpoint on weeks that the docket goes out, it may take a little more than 20. On weeks the docket doesn't go out, then it might not. So that's 2 weeks out of the month where there's a lot of pressure on everyone to get that done. And there's 2 weeks out of the month where we might not need that extra 9 hours or whatever. And I that's what I kind of envision is that
I'm not I'm not sure the fact that you don't need that. I'm trying to, part-time, you finish the code this month or this month, and you work 29 hours, that's what we're doing. Next week is, you're doing 22 hours. The point is that we seem to get stuck with that same number, and maybe it's Carl's fault, but he knows his budget.
Commissioner, trust me, I know what you're saying, and I have federal government experience and local government experience, and I know what you're saying about inefficiencies in government. I've seen it, I know what it is. And so if I see the part-time help on their Facebook, I'm gonna have a problem with that. They don't need, you know. So, but that's on us to make sure, Joan and I, to make sure the person is engaged and they're staying busy. If they're not, then they don't need to put, like you said, 29 hours in. So I agree with you.
And so you're willing to monitor the needs of that person rather than just guaranteeing them 29 hours each week? I mean, if that, be honest with us, if you feel like you're gonna be pushing that 29 hours and barely able to get the work done between the two offices in 29 hours, just tell us.
I can't.
If you think and are willing to commit to utilizing that person on an as-needed basis, I think that he brings up a reasonable argument there, but again, get the job done with that person, whatever it is.
I agree. And again, some of these, like the project that Esther was referring to about the scanning old files, that doesn't have to be done tomorrow. So that's just a project that I would like to be able to start getting rid of some of these old files. It's just, you know, they've been here. It isn't gonna kill anybody to keep them here until we can get it. So again, that doesn't have to be done. It's not like I have to have that done tomorrow. So that's why I'm saying there's some flexibility there. I don't know exactly, because this is something we've just been talking about. I don't know how. We could probably keep them busy 29 hours. There's no question we could, but whether we have to or not. And again, I'm always trying to not. I haven't asked for this position in several years, and I've had every year my staff asking for it. So, and also I put off that expense of the net data program that was such a big expense. They ask every year for that, but again, I was trying to be cost conscious and not just spend money just because it makes, you know, my staff happy. I put that off, and I'm glad we have it. There's no question we needed it. Probably should have done it a little earlier. But again, I had my mind primarily focused on cost savings instead of efficiency. And there's no question we needed that net data program, I have to say. But it was very expensive. I can't remember what it was. $25,000?
It was, I think we were at $9,900.
It's
I'd have to look at
it. It was very expensive up front, plus it's about $8,000 over $8,000.
And we have an invoice from NetData that every department, if they give us a software invoice, so it goes into that. And I'd have to see what, I think it's between $9,000 and $10,000 a year maintenance on theirs.
So, yeah, to answer your question, Commissioner, I am concerned about cost. I will be concerned about cost. And you can ask me the tough questions every year. I don't mind them. They don't offend me. I don't have a problem with it. And we can reevaluate that position in 12 months, just like I do every year. So,
well, at least for the next 6 months, I can't see you doing with that employee less than 29 hours, because you're going to be trying to do this docket assistance job as well as catch up on all this scanning. Now, there's no point in slowing down on your scanning objectives just to achieve 20 hours. This week, I want to try to get by with 20 hours a week. If we're just kicking the can down the road, don't do that. Utilize them, but just utilize them efficiently, whatever that is. And then the second question is, who's going to be this person's boss? They can't have a dual boss with the boss thinks they be your employee, and so it should come out of your budget or not come out of it. We should put it in your budget. But if that's a smart way to get this started, let's need to tell Christy and Carl where this person is.
Well, I have no problem with it coming out of my budget. However, I envision the person spending more time helping Jerry than more time in my office. So, you know, that's the reality of it.
Well, I'm just addressing, you know, the reality of having a person that's working for two bucks.
I mean, she can turn in a timesheet. We can pay it out of two different funds if we have to.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, so like.
Who are they going to report to? Who's going to be the one to determine their hours this week or this day?
Well, it.
Sign off on the time.
Sign time, yeah, because I mean, 1 week it may be, okay, this week we're going to work for Joan or this pay period and then she'll sign it all. We'll pay it out of her budget. If it's a 2 week pay or a pay period and they're primarily in Joan's, then he'll sign off on it. And we set up, it's just us setting up line items to accommodate that.
That's fine. Because I really don't need to be supervising her, him or her if she's, he or she is working with Joan. So, I mean, it's, I'm not exactly, I don't know all the details of what Jerry does every day.
But there will be days when this person is in your office doing nothing but scanning.
Right.
And at which time they need to be making sure they're doing what we want them to do, even if we say Joan's your boss.
And I think that can be done because the way I envision this, the way Joan and I were talking, there are weeks where Jerry just gets slammed. And in those weeks, I want that person to help Jerry. And in weeks that she doesn't have to get that docket out and ease up, that's the weeks that she can help me. So I think we can manage that.
Yeah, or if things kind of slow down in my office to where Jerry could release her, I want her to be able to go to his office and just log in and pick up.
And the main thing with us is we have the hours signed off by each one of them, specific hours for our payroll. I mean, that's all we can, we need.
So it's two, are you getting two time sheets from this person?
I think so. I mean, if they could turn in one and have, just depending on, we may have a trial and error of how we do that. Just have one, and if the first week of that 2 week payroll, they work with John, he'll sign the first week off, and John can sign off the, or have whatever system they come up with.
Initial it.
Initial. Yeah, both initial.
Yeah.
Both initial.
Yeah.
It's going to be one time sheet that's both initial.
Initial your hours, initial his hours.
Ah, she'd have to write down the hours, so
that's not a problem.
Which department to go to.
What makes sense from a budget standpoint? Budget split this half and half, put it all in one department?
I would say split it.
Yeah, if we're going to, yeah.
For who to work.
Because we're going to set up the payroll budget separate. We have to have a budget in there for it.
50-50, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. Is it going to be 50-50? Is it going to be 70-30?
Does anybody know? Right?
Well, yeah, we don't know. If it is, I have no, if the person is working more for Joan, ends up working more for Joan, it's fine.
Okay, what about,
it's still benefiting me.
We have, what about this? We have a department that's county court, and it's a whole different department. And this person is really working for the different tiers of the court, so you could put just that particular salary all in it for this first year. I mean, keep it there and kind of see a history of how much.
Yeah.
Keep it in there, then we don't have to split it. We still have y'all sign off the time sheet.
Both of us need to sign off on the time sheet.
But we have that commissioner's, I mean, the county court little department that we can just budget because she's working for the court. And we can just pay all the salary out of that, and then we'll have the time sheet signed off on.
Yeah. Either way, because I benefit whenever his office is more up to date.
I like your idea.
Yeah, and that. Just put it in the.
You want us to budget 20 hours?
A combo.
I would say 29.
We can do 29 if, what, right. If they don't do that, then it's just money that's left.
What are you going to pay this person? I don't know. What are you paying them now?
Well, we were paying
$9.50.
$9.50 was that, but I mean, we've talked about like $10 is what we. Start out everybody else here, but it's up to y'all. What's your
opinion? I don't have an opinion on that. Whatever y'all want to do on that. Whatever y'all think on that.
A skilled person with experience or a non-experienced person that you're going to train to do the job?
I don't know how much they would have any experience. I mean,
was $10 a reasonable amount?
I would say so. When we're talking about part-time, I'm envisioning somebody at the college or somebody that's got a that's kind of what I'm thinking of a lot of what I have in my mind is some kind of part-time student or a high school student that can
you think you can attract the caliber of person you're looking for that?
I would say so. You know, I teach at the college part-time
let's
for 20 years.
Let's go with 29 hours and $10 in that county court part about that.
Someone with an interest in criminal justice is what I envisioned. Someone who is interested in learning, so not someone who just sits there and scans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see that happen. I thought that was wonderful when Morgan ended up full-time. She did a great job in the auditor's office. They had her to lead her, but they haven't moved, they moved to Oregon, as y'all know. But she did a wonderful job. She learned how to do my office work and then went over to the auditors. It just worked out wonderfully. So hopefully that we can have that same kind of success.
Billy, I certainly don't have any problem with it because I know what they do. I know what we used to do. And I know people would bring cases up here and pick it or bring it to trial or whatever. And I know there was before John walked out of here before. You got in here. We've had cases, old cases, for witnesses, officers, wrong attack. These cases were dismissed. I do know the fact that there are these cases, due process is done, and I like that. And besides that, finding some things like this, you can go back and look 10 years ago and go check it today, and you will see a big difference. And people used to think, well, I can just repeat it and keep repeating it. They're not going to get to me anyway. That's what official bother is. I like the due process that's going on. I love that. Great
job. Okay, any further discussion on this? We got a plan out here. Okay. John Mark, anything else?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for being here. John, anything else related to this subject?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We don't cover elected officials on this call. Put the numbers already in here. I mean, I know they kind of discussed whether or not to do it before October 1, but I think they this morning they acted like October 1 because they want to do everything.
Okay, we've got Sheriff Ingram here. Sheriff's got at least one subject that I know he's going to talk about. One thing I do want to clear up, just to be sure we were all in agreement, he had talked about, I think I heard some conversation that the raises were not going to affect the department, the employees that were part of the STEP program in the sheriff's office. That's not right. What we had agreed to do was when raises were implemented, the STEP pay levels would also increase by that same amount. So we don't have STEP program employees and non-STEP employees. We give raises, it affects all of those in the same
and that's, way. And that's what I did. That's what I did.
Okay. Well, I know there was some discussion. Right. I just wanted to clarify that for these guys.
Yep.
All right, Sheriff, I'm going to turn it over to you to discuss your budget needs for this year.
Well, I'm going to talk to Al about this. I need a $2 million helicopter. Yeah, that is a good one. just joking about that, but no kidding. No, Scott Glover did. He does have one that they will come out and help us with. So that's good about having people like him in our community, because if we ever need anything, we're searching for somebody who will take us up. Hospitals actually can take us up for them. So, that building that's next to us has come up for sale again. Just kind of want to reiterate, just to let you know that even for 20 years down the road, I think the property is going to really come in handy for the county to own that. But for right now, it helped me get get more room and get my, get some of my people out of bathroom and room closets, give me more storage space, and kind of, I guess, just take some of the load off the building we're in and some of the congestion that we're in, if you guys would consider looking at that.
Talk to us about the price and the size of that building. We haven't talked about this in, what, 4 years?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the square footage, but I can, if I move my CID over, that's why I'm going to move over into environmental. It'll fill up every room that's in there, except for portions of the rooms. It's made for a conference room that's in there, but all offices, I can fill them up 100%. And we'd still have to put two sergeants to an office over on the side that we're on. But what I need to do is the two bathrooms, I'd actually tried to look at making them back in the bathroom, but we can't. Because back in the jail, they're out of room for the commissary that we sell inmates, which we make pretty good money on that. And that in turn, what has helped us, like we have the boiler, you know, $40,000 boiler, I paid half of that commissary, so it saved us quite a bit of money. I think we got money in commissary now, we can buy a whole boiler. But we're going to have to use one of those office spaces that's bathroom for storage for commissary, and the other one's going to have to be for radio equipment and uniforms. But I mean, we just don't have any room. We have nowhere to go. I mean, if the county gets bigger, which it looks like it is, the dog food plant just acquired the 30 acres out there. In 2 years, they're going to start building a new plant.
It's not that
good,
certainly,
yet, so it's... Oh, it's not? Oh, I thought it was, kind of.
I don't think it's...
But anyway, just future growth. I'm just looking at things. I know Pilgrims that plan on adding on. I don't know why they stopped. It looks like they cleared their land and they stopped. But they still, last time I spoke with some of their people, they're still planning on building that. They just had to slow up on it. We just don't have any room for expansion, period.
You got taken about it for the
cat park. Oh, that's solid records. You ever been in that? I mean, take
me in there.
Yeah, that's, Al, that's, believe it or not, we have to keep records so long. That is solid record. We had to build shelves put in there. And
how long have you got here?
Oh, man, some of those you have to keep probably close to 100 years. It depends on the case. Yeah, if it's a murder case, we have to keep those things for like almost forever if it's murder. No, but I mean, a lot of those, no, she has went to and got rid of a lot of them, but no, there's a lot of those cases that we've got to keep for years.
There could be
a murder case. Well, no, that's just an example.
A lot of paper out there, sure. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah, it's records. We have to use that. Now, we can't, by law, we can't, when they built that, actually built that so they could do the expansion on the jail. By law, you can't use that as a jail anymore. And that was one of the agreements, so.
Well, I think my story, you said you need storage. I tell you, you got tons. You've got to be able to get rid of something. I don't have to hold it for so much. You've got to be able to get rid
of it. Oh, man, well, we did. When we got rid, when the company come in and was shredding that paperwork for us, we did. We actually got rid of a lot of stuff. But there's just so much accumulated, we have to keep moving it out there because there's so much paperwork that's accumulated in law enforcement. It's just, I'd be welcome to show it to you, let you see Andrew's office. And then we actually even have, we have a lot of paperwork there in storage. But then, I mean, you have to, there's just too much. It just comes in by that.
IRS attorney, should you list what you have to keep out of your
Texas State.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. We do. We try to call that, but it. But I mean, no. The paperwork storage is not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking, just general, all kinds of storage, from commissary to radio equipment to uniforms to. I mean, we just don't have any room. There's just nowhere to build them. And if we have to grow it all and expand, there is none. There's no room for expansion. Period. To give you another example, it's like we used to, we got our copier, we had to stick it in the same room with our patrol division, and that gets pretty hectic when you're trying to do shift change, you get people trying to make copies. I mean, there's, it's just, we just have nowhere to go, it's just, there's no space.
How many people would you physically move over there, the office there, on a permanent basis?
Probably nine, I think, eight or nine.
What, how much you talking about?
Well, we're gonna do CID over there, then we're gonna do environmental in the front office, what the, what the public has, it's Clint Bank, environmental.
Yeah, where you gonna move there?
Gonna move past the front closet, put him over in the, if we come aside again for me, to the new office there, the front office.
That's what we're talking about, is, do you remember 4 years ago, we discussed the possible purchase of that building just in the north of the jail? That's what he's talking about here, same subject as 4 years ago.
Was it not that building?
Yes. You're talking about moving up to nine people's office over there, what would you do with the areas that they're vacating in your current quarters?
Well, like I said, Clint Bank, my environmental is in the broom closet, we're gonna pull him out and go over there. All my CID, which are the investigators, they can go over there. And then I'd probably move left sergeant sheriff office, and the one that's there, move Randy, my warrant officer, or actually, my civil officer, and move her and my warrant officer, and get them out of the back rooms and get them in one of the offices that's there.
So what would you do with the offices, if you pull them out of your current sheriff's office, and put them next door, if we were to buy this building, what would you do with that freed up space?
Well, one, the other room we'd use for radio equipment, uniform, the other one would be commissary for the jail.
It's not like you free up nine offices, and you move nine people, because you got some of them sharing space already.
I can just do that, right, front closet.
But who owns that building now? Who owns that building?
Anthony Cooper owns it.
And you price, do you think, I don't know if you've got the firm price or not, but you think you can buy it for the same price as he proposed 4 years ago?
I think we can get it a little cheaper than what he proposed for.
I hope we have, what's gonna do, we put those credit.
You had to ask him, don't let me think.
And I don't understand that, why would we spend that county money? We got all kinds of offices. I don't understand, but anyway, I do understand now, it's better, I know you won't.
And that price is $250,000, is that the last price you would call?
$2,300.
And that property goes from Van Buren all the way back to, what is that, Johnson?
Well, that's, okay, yeah, I was thinking, you think the whole building from corner to corner, because it will go to the first one.
But if you make that purchase, wouldn't you get frontage on both sides of that block?
Oh, yeah, you'd get it on.
And the reason, in my opinion, that that's noteworthy is that if we were to ever develop that property on the backside of the jail, where we've got the garden and the fenced in area, I do see that as 20 years from now being a place for a criminal justice center or something like that. And I think that having, not only do you get a building, you get some property that could become a critical part of that future picture.
Right, well, in honesty, when, I mean, by the time we get this loop paid for, whoever is sitting up here is gonna have to start looking at when we're gonna build a jail. It may not be exactly the time when the bonds are paid off, but the jail's gonna know it's gonna have to be done. Probably gonna be the next person to look at it, then whoever's sitting up here, that's probably gonna need to be made with parking. That's gonna, it's an issue now, parking's an issue now. That's one reason why the bank, I think, put the sign up over parking, because on visitation days, a lot of people will block some of their spots there, so they put a sign up. I had to put a sign up because they're filling up my lot where my deputies park, you can't get in. But yeah, I wouldn't want to put another building back where the jail is now, simply because of the foundation, so I think probably put some fridge drains under it and make it park, which is gonna be badly needed. 20 years down the road, when you have to bulldoze that thing and put it in jail. The perfect spot is gonna be for all that, gonna be my property already have, which is where the employees park now. Man, we've got a ton of that. There's a lot of land back there that's not even being used. So, I mean, that's gonna be a perfect spot to put all of that, put a new justice center. In my opinion, it made money sense to put it all in one, where you have your JPs, your jail, your district court, all in one building. One day we can put the bill, and then just turn all that apart.
We talked about this before we all were in office. Are you familiar with this building over there? Where the tribute was, and right now it's partially rented to a dental company. Keith White, he comes here, something like that. Majority of it is vacant. If you all ever been inside of that building?
Hold on, let me go here.
You coming in off, right, to rent that building?
No.
Keith White, that's Kobe Morris.
He owns it, he sold it.
Oh, he sold it.
Huh?
He sold it.
Yeah, they don't come in.
Okay.
Well, you know, go back to what you were talking about, what offices do you see that might be possible offices for the sheriff?
I don't know. We've got an office that's next to that, actually, yeah, we're doing it with credit company, if you want. Probably more places than that. I'm about to work on that, but I don't think I'll take that. But there should be something in there. We got a lot of things. I don't know about the storage, but what about the meal center out there? Can the storage go out there? Is there any storage people or is there rather unusual? Maybe a big building, perhaps.
We heard the word storage come up. We're really talking about this as a personnel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's more personnel storage. The storage is just a good part of moving them so we can handle the storage. No personnel. And I don't care if we provide a builder, if you want to spend $100,000, yeah.
You're not just referring to old files. You're talking about storage of commissary.
Oh, I'm talking about personnel, the whole thing. The whole thing in general, yeah. And if you don't want to buy that building, I mean, we can certainly add on, spend the same amount, adding on. I mean, yeah, I don't care where it is, but the good thing about the building setup is good for us because it also has an office for the interview room. Just little things like that in there.
Is that office space moved in? Do you need to do any work to it?
Not much. I mean, maybe just do a little thing. Anybody can do that.
If he would, if he's to consider doing this, we would need a blessing for us. So we need to ask the questions here of the sheriff and decide whether this is something that you would want to do. The price, can we discuss the price? Yes, you can. Well, I thought it then, I still think it now. I think that due to the proximity of that building to the existing property and the purpose the sheriff's asking, I still think it would be a good thing at all.
I'd rather see it go to the building right next to the judge. I don't have to take a lot of time. I'd rent a whole building like that. We have to jump the whole building together.
Consider that a jump the whole building. I think it's in pretty good shape.
You could, before you proceed too far, you need to get somebody to give you an evaluation of what they think it's worth. Because he's asking $250, it doesn't mean that's what it's worth.
You're exactly right.
Right, and I'd actually just like going and look at the roof on the building too.
But what Al's saying is also an option. We do own a lot right next to the JP Center, and that's just down the street. So,
that's true.
I could hear you.
I guess if you did something like that, what what I was looking at too, is the building right next door, we're gonna cat five and tie into our system. Could we still do that? I guess because the JV's can't, so I guess you can still do it. And that was the good thing about trying to move next door, because it would be so cheap to run and so efficient, you know, stuff run that we need to communicate with dispatch and stuff that the investigator do with the state, you know, getting in the T-Lex and stuff like that, run criminal histories and forth. But I don't know if it'd be a problem, the JV's could do it, so.
Something else you could consider, we talked about that Little Street building many times. If you didn't feel like that was a critical part of what we do, you could always sell that building with the current tenant.
Or, I mean, we do have that spot in the back that's in the center from the general building. I don't know what it costs to develop that.
Where is it? Across Johnson Street?
Well, no, not directly with the jail. It's just the little grassy area right there where I park. You know what I'm talking about, Al? When you pull up right behind where I put my car, that's that area there. That actually, I don't know what it, I don't know how cost effective it would be. I don't think we can get somebody to look at it. But
I think new construction on that area would far exceed what the cost of this building would be. And I think to do that until we had a genuine master plan for that property.
Right, because I mean, realistically, within 20, 25 years, you're going to have to look at doing something else with that property. I think we'll be fine until we get the loop made off, but when that loop's made off, like I said, whoever's sitting here is going to have to really seriously look at it, get prepared to do that, and get ready to do it. Even if it's not right then, but they're going to start having plans to fix it.
Well, that jail was built in 93, so.
Well, that's a new park. The older park is there. Was it for them, or was it all?
I don't think so. I think it was all built at the same time.
Well, was it?
Wasn't all that jail built in 93? And also the bond issue.
No, the old jail, all the racing original jail is part of the system now. If we build a brand.
So when was it built? When was it built?
Answer your question, yes, 93 was built by the council, and then we were going to.
Well, I know that's the bond was issued when I was here.
Well, what's the bad is that jail, I think the jails are built now, and probably even more in the future, it will be actually more built for the future. This jail here is just, it's got some meaning.
Every 50 or 60 years, you have to replace it.
Yeah.
Why don't the city build a new jail?
They don't have to. They don't have to.
They don't have to.
Yeah, the law says the county's responsible.
The law says we're responsible for them. So they don't have to, so they don't build one. They took their old jail and turned it into office space. That's one of your mandates.
Oh yeah, we get stuck with a lot of stuff by mandates that.
I mean, there's lots of cities that do have a jail, but they don't have to. They can make the county pay them.
So if you guys want to speak up in favor or lack thereof about this building purchase, because, you know, if I don't get some positive indication from you, I'm not going to put it in the budget.
I'll listen to both sides here, and I think the most economic side would be about the building. If you can look at it, you can get a person's appraisal, see what it's worth.
He may not sell it for what it's worth. He may not sell it for what it's worth. I mean, you might, your appraiser might say it's only worth 175.
But it's still a smart thing to do to get an appraisal.
Oh, yes. But I'm just saying that you get it appraised, but that doesn't mean he may not sell it for what we think it's worth, so you may not buy it.
Well, I still think the room is needed. So I know, getting my own well in the old park back there, we had, I think, we had 48 prisoners. Now it's 183 in Dade County.
Dade County.
Yes, and report as I asked that building, they, when I first got there, the offices, we did that cheap, used inmate labor. They had one big room for all the investigators, and I don't know how they did it. I don't know how you can concentrate, type up a case, be on the phone with the people in here, and you've got five investigators right there sitting next to each other doing the same thing. So what we did, we just put a wall up in there and divided them, and made one room into actually four offices, so.
Like it or not, we're broke. We usually, 32 years ago, we were averaging around anywhere from 20 to 30 people would be big, and then all of a sudden it started growing, and we were going, we had 50, but on the whole 48, you tell me, you know, 48, that didn't want you to grow to 10%. They're usually not 10% off, and, when we got up 55, 60, they basically told us, you will correct this problem, or you're fixing to house these prisoners somewhere else, and we checked on housing them somewhere else, and instead of just house these 50 prisoners, it was going to be $500,000.
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example of some of the problems, John. I've said before that the plumbing's going to be one of the big issues. And already we've had to shut one cell down. And now this ain't got nothing to do with needing to buy it for more office space. Right. This is just to let you know, I mean, how the building's going and why I think within another 20 years, whoever's sitting up here, you're going to have to look at the building to jail, whether you want to or not, it's going to happen. Already the plumbing's falling in, we've had to shut the cells down. Because I'm afraid you look at the cost, what it's going to cost, bust all the concrete out and run the plumbing in here.
I'm really confused. We've been laying out jail space and keeping prisoners for people all over the United States. Last several years, what happened to that space?
Well, no, we're not talking about jail space. I'm not talking about jail space. That's not what we're needing.
We still have the prisoner space out
here. Yeah, we still have the prisoner space.
You're saying we're overloading our, whatever, the 48, and you're, I know for a fact you've been leasing out prisoners.
He's talking about a long time ago before they had.
30 years ago.
We're talking about now.
Yeah, now we have plenty of jail space.
Yeah, jail space.
We have plenty of
jail space. And then we want to get another governor, buy a whole thing.
That's for the administrator's space.
That's for the administrator's
space. Stop taking in privilege for other people.
But that won't help you with the administrator's space.
Won't help you with office space?
No. Does.
You need that space. Okay. I got you. All right. I don't know why I'm even talking.
Oh, you're right.
I got the plan.
I support that. We got to check on prices, we check on different things, but I think it's a good investment.
Guys, any thoughts? I seen them over there in the room closets and stuff. Clint don't have an office, just sitting in the front office there. In that area, you know, when you walk in, you know, he needs to be in an office that he can do his job at. And it's, like I said, he just had a small room closet. I think it'd be a good asset to kind of do by the way. I know it's tight over there, and I know that spaces, there are these deep spaces to put folks, because I've seen two or three in an office over there that the times I've been over there. I don't know that the timing's right to do it, but I do need to know that it's needed somewhere, whether it be there or somewhere else. And to me, it would make more sense to have that lot if we are going to do something or look at something down the road. I think it's something that we, that would be an asset to that if we're looking at something down the road. And as far as parking goes, you were talking about parking a while ago. I mean, you can't find a parking place over there at time anywhere.
About where the garden was for parking lots.
No, we're talking about the public when they come in here to see prisoners at the jail.
And it can't park over there?
Well, if it would, but it can't.
Park over there. Damn, that's a big joke, everything. Why don't we have a discussion? It's already decided.
I thought that's why we were here. If you got something to say, say it.
It's decided already. In my opinion, it's decided. It's going to be done. And I don't know why you bring up other ideas, because it's done deal. I've already got it planned. I can tell you. There's so many things that's already discovered. Nearly everything on this agenda is already decided.
Okay, well, what I'm hearing is we've got ways to go before we make the final decision on this, but I do think you ought to include it in the budget, just in case they decide to go that way. At a future commissioner's board meeting, we will prove maybe, having that property appraised. This will give us some time to consider other possible options. This is not going to increase the tax rate or increase the size of the, I mean, we do not need additional tax rate in order to do this. We would do it out of fund balance. But go ahead and include that in there.
The 250?
Yeah, go ahead and include that in there.
And also, I still think we need to, before we strongly consider this, we still need to look at that roof and get, and Cooper's one wants to sell it, so.
Well, you've got several things that you're going to have to do. All I'm doing is reserving a spot in that.
Okay.
Because if it's not in there, we're not going to come back and make an emergency decision to buy that building.
Because if it's, like I say, if it don't embrace for that, we may not want it, or if that roof's been
We've got plenty of opportunities to proceed with or to pass on this purchase, and there are several steps that are going to need to be done. We need to have an evaluation of the building. We need to have an appraisal of the building. And if it doesn't appraise and it can't be bought, then we may not get it bought. If you've got some suitable alternatives to this, Commissioner Riddle, I'd love to hear, and I'll certainly consider it. As far as I know, this decision hasn't been made by anybody. I supported it in the past. I still support it. But I'd like to hear some other alternatives, and I've changed my mind. All right, Sheriff, did you have anything else that you wanted to discuss with us? I think the last item I had here on my list, I provided you with a memo from Ray Barrett about his request for increase to pay for his mental health officer pay based on his justification of making more trips. And so I provided you with that information. What do you say about his request for additional pay? There, because if we're going to increase that, that's got to be included in the budget.
Well, I don't know what he's doing if he's not doing that. I don't understand the job, because if you get a job and we have more work to do, we have more flooding, and now we get a couple, 3 winters ago. I don't understand what he's doing when he's not doing that. I mean, why is that? Does he need more money for that? He's got to be doing something.
A reasonable question.
I don't think we should even consider it. He gets paid about $7,600 or $6,700 for handling that.
$8,760.
$8,760.
$8,760.
And plus the mileage, then he gets mileage for 202. Plus his 15,600.
Plus his 15,600, plus his 50. About 60,000. I'm sure he's probably 59.
Anybody else want to give some input on that? He did provide some documentation that his mental case trips to Terrell and other facilities. Yes, it has increased.
I understand that.
My really not in favor of increasing this funding, we just ask it that way.
So again, I don't have a problem with it, I know the iron has been there from the beginning.
No, they don't spend all the weekend.
Well, they get a person committed on Saturday.
That's not happening. I'm the one doing this committee.
They're not getting anybody to get money and use it or something.
That has generally been our policy. If he has made a weekend trip or an odd hours trip, it's a rare. I'm not saying that one way or another, but we have pretty well got the hospital working with us to where these trips are postponed until Monday if they're occurring. Now, we get some on Friday afternoon, and they mess up this Friday night, but if we have these over the weekend emergency situations, typically the ambulance from the site, car from the hospital, or the facility that is receiving them, not Carroll, but Green Up and Glen Oaks and other provide transportation. So we may have had some other situations in the past, but that's extremely rare.
Well, the reason we went to the hospital and laid down after to do this is because our full-time main person, I think, is going to do this, take care of all our main patients and stuff. Person, I just didn't feel like we had enough people to do it.
This is a good, we're doing it in an efficient way.
So, at that time, we should be protected. And, you know, the salary with the law. We had got, and that's a main thing, a state effect, we had got to have mental health costs, period. When he was off, they said,
he did some of it.
Sure, he did some of it.
Sure.
Okay. Anything else to discuss? I don't know anything.
So we're going to say no on the rank?
I'm not, I'm not hearing any support for it. Commissioner Phil says he didn't have a problem with it, but I take that as you can go either way.
So for the time being, I'm not going to put it in there?
That's right.
That completes my list for our legislative workshop. I appreciate your time and your input. That brings us to adjournment. One more thing before we close the budget workshop. Christie's going to take the things we discussed today. She's got to have this budget prepared and
by
Friday. So, if you have anything else?
Or forever hold your peace. And I may be, as I go and key punch, if I come across something, I may try to call y'all just to verify. I'll call the judge to verify something, but I think I have it all. And I'm going to have Carl go over some stuff with me, so. I'll start keying on that tomorrow.
Now, the budget can always be amended at the last second.